Hello, it's Chris Eel here with a bonus Talking Rugby Union podcast, and I'm joined by Roger Woodall over Zoom to have a chat about Bournemouth Sevens and Sevens festivals in general. And fingers crossed, those seven festivals, which you might have marked in your calendars, are in pen rather than pencil in 2021 after a disappointing year for everything, for obvious reasons as well. So Dodge, welcome to the podcast. And before we talk about Sevens and Bournemouth in particular, I do feel like I'm being joined by podcast royalty today. Now, you said before we started that you haven't had much to do, but judging by some of the podcasts you've been doing, it seems to be that you've been very busy. I mean, co-hosting the Harry Redknapp Show, obviously the Eventful Entrepreneur podcast, which you're heading up as well. Some big names on there, and you look like you've been busy.
Yeah, mate, I've been really busy. Actually, it's interesting, you know, when COVID came along, it was all doom and gloom. But I just, as an entrepreneur, I just saw it as an opportunity, huge opportunity. So, yeah, I thought about doing my own podcast. We come up with a podcast called The Eventful Entrepreneur. And it's the first time I've ever gone public. I've always been very private. So I told my story about how we created the Bournemouth Sevens Festival and how we created Viper 10 in sportswear, and just told my story for 1,500 parties in nightclubs all around the country for, you know, my world's been events. So it made sense to create an events podcast. And we put it out there and people loved it. And we're like, wow, people are liking this. Let's carry on. So opened up my black book and got lots of friends of mine in and doing interviews with top entrepreneurs and sporting icons. And it's gone from there, really. And it's been going for, we've got 20 episodes out now. And that's been going 20 weeks. And on the back of that, I got a phone call from a London production company about 6 weeks ago saying, is that Dodge? And I was like, yeah. And they said, I would like to come and see you. I was like, yeah, book down to Bournemouth, come and see me. So he said, we love your podcast. We love how raw it is and how real you are and da-da-da-da. Would you like to co-host a new Harry Redknapp show with Harry? I was like, of course. You know, my childhood hero as a West Ham fan, you know. So, me and Harry have launched the Harry Redknapp show, and I've had some brilliant guests on that as well. I've heard with Piers Morgan, Rod Stewart, Frank Lampard, Eddie Hearn. The list just goes on and on. And we've had a real laugh doing it. And in crap times as well, me and Harry have been there like two young kids giggling and laughing and having chats with all these big superstars and stuff. So, yeah, we've had a good laugh, mate. It's been fun.
Did you know Harry at all before? Or did you meet Harry? Did you?
Yeah. He lives up the road. We live up the road from each other. And we get on well. It's like having your best uncle, you know. he's full of stories. He's full of laughter. He's properly down to earth. He's a West Ham man like we are, and we both just get it. We both bounce off each other really well.
Yeah, and I mean, just if anyone hasn't heard both of Dodgy's podcasts, do give them a listen. As he said it, we are going through pretty rubbish times at the moment, but listen to some of the stories on the Harry Redknapp Show, but also the stories that Roger's going to tell on the Eventful Entrepreneur as well. Well worth a listen if you get a chance, and it is inspiring, it is uplifting. So do check them out if you can. But Roger's kind of given up his time to chat all things rugby and rugby sevens in particular. And for people that don't know anything about Dodge, but Dodge is the founder of the biggest sport festival in the calendar of Bournemouth Sevens, and that is not just me saying that because Dodge is on the other end of a Zoom call. It is actual fact that it is the biggest sporting festival, and I know that because on Talking Rugby Union a few years ago, you know, I started out doing bits and pieces around the event, and everything that you search around Bournemouth Sevens said it was a sporting Glastonbury. And Max Ashcroft, who's the founder of TRU, had a team down there the other year with Red Panda Sports. And, you know, it just seems to have grown and grown ever since I started knowing about the event. But obviously, over the last 12 months, it's been very difficult for sporting festivals and festivals in general. And I just wanted to get sort of how the challenges in the last 12 months have been for you, Dodge, really, because I guess everyone was gearing up for a May bank holiday, as they usually do, and it's the highlight of the year. But obviously, plans were put on hold last year.
Yeah, massively. It was March the 23rd, to be precise, when Big Boris on BBC spoke about a pandemic is arriving in this country and the peak of the pandemic is on the Bournemouth Sevens weekend. He didn't actually say Bournemouth Sevens. That would be nice in front of 25 million people.
It wouldn't have surprised me if he had said it, to be fair.
I would have paid him to say it, put it that way. Bit of promo. So he said the pandemic was going to arrive on our weekend on the May bank holiday. So we had to think quickly. It was like, shit, what are we going to do? First of all, I went onto Google and typed in, what's pandemic? what's corona? What's COVID? I was learning all these new words. And it was kind of like, oh man, this is for real. Because I heard a month before things were happening in China, but I didn't think it was going to come over here. And all of a sudden, when they said it's coming over here, it was like, oh man, we got to think quickly. So we had to speak to the police, the council, the licensing, the fire, the venue. And you got to remember that we've only got 2 months before the festival doors are open. And we sold 30,000 tickets. All the teams sold out. And it was like, oh my God. So we, because we're a nimble company, we moved very quickly. And it took us about a week. And we actually moved the date to the August bank holiday weekend, which gave us a lifeline last year, thinking it's going to give us an extra 100 days. And we're just praying. And the emotions were like this every day. 1 minute Boris and his men would say everything's great. Next minute it's doom and gloom. And it was just a roller coaster. Hmm. But roller coaster that I loved.
Really? Why?
I loved it. Because it was new. I've been running for 13 years. Yeah, I've been in business. I've never worked for anyone. I've thrown thousands of parties and festivals that I've owned and owner of the sport, Viper 10 Sports. I liked things when they happened like this. It's like the last recession in 2008. We launched Bournemouth Sevens. I launched it because of the global recession. We launched Viper 10 because of the global recession, because it creates opportunities. So with all the doom and gloom going around, there was also a part of me who was quite enjoying the craziness of, well, how do we adapt? How do we move quickly? What do we have to do? And obviously the roller coaster, when you move it to August, is all your fans are wanting you to put it on as much as you're wanting to put it on, because, you know, you build up with a festival, you know, it's a risky business, but it's high reward. So when you're working 362 days a year to earn all your money on 3 days, that's big risk. You know, I was with the chairman of a Premier League football club the other day, and he was saying how risky their business is. They have 20 home games to earn all their money. And then I got up and spoke, and he said, Dodge, can you speak? What are yours? And then when I told him it was 3 days of the year, that's even more risk. So we were just holding on and waiting and waiting. But it, you know what? When you've been working 4,000 days solid on a festival, and then, you know, you postpone it, and then you have to cancel it. That was a little bit heartbreaking, I've got to say. It took me about 4 or 5 days to tell the pub, to put a video out to the public and obviously to all our fans. But the beauty of it, you're sitting there, because it was so new. It's like, how many want a full refund? How many want to keep their tickets for 2021? 80% of our fans kept their ticket for 2021, and we were blown away. So I phoned up all my friends who own other festivals around the country. I said, what sort of percentage kept their tickets for 2021, all the music festivals? And only 20% of people kept their tickets for 2021 from the music festivals around the country. So it goes to show the power of sport.
It really does. I mean, I was going to ask you, Rod, Dodge, then, and in terms of what you were kind of expecting for 2020, because, you know, at 30,000 people 2019, I think 168 rugby sevens teams were involved, and that's just rugby. Obviously, it covers a wide range of sports as well. So I guess you were pretty much hoping for more, but probably even better as well for 2020. So it must be encouraging when you see figures like 80% of people have said, yeah, okay, we miss it for 2020, but it's going to be even bigger and better in 2021 as well. So why not just keep hold of the tickets?
Yeah, it was a delight. It really, you know what, to be honest with you, Chris, because I'm on info at Bournemouth Sevens on your mobiles, you see it all coming in, refund, refund, refund. I was literally like, you're joking me. And then after the second week, after 14 days, it just all stopped. And then you add it all up and you go, oh my God, 80% of people are keeping the ticket for next year. That was a lovely feeling. You know, we've had 2 years. If the festival happens, we had to move it from May this year, obviously. We've moved it to the August bank holiday for 2021. You know, I look at it and think, God, we've got 8 months or 7 months or whatever it is. Surely everyone's going to be vaccinated. Surely we're allowed to be back in a big field. We're not in a nightclub. We're in a big field, 67 acres of land. And we'll just pray that it happens, because we want to put it on as much as the customers want to be there, you know. But it is what it is. If it goes on, it goes on, you know. But we're really positive that it will happen. But again, who knows? No one knows. We're sitting here today on February the whatever it is, mid-February. No one knows. But we're planning full ahead that it's happening on the August bank holiday, and we will put on an absolute corker of a festival, because we're chomping to put it on, you know.
Yeah. I mean, just listen to you there, Roger, about how you were maybe taken aback a little bit by 80% of people, you know, wanted to hold the ticket for 2021. I was doing a bit of research last week ahead of this, and I saw a video, I think, from 2017, which you guys put out, and you were talking about the start of the event And it seems like you were obviously surprised a little bit then about how many people did turn up, but that surprise is even still there 14 years on in a weird sort of way, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, I'm very, very grateful. Our customers and our fans are unbelievable because they're all like-minded people. All like-minded people, people who have played sport together at school, people who played sport together at uni. When you split from uni, people go up Manchester, Birmingham, Leicester, everyone comes back together and meet everyone again at Bournemouth Sevens. Mm. So you've got rugby, netball, hockey, dodgeball and volleyball, all like-minded people. And then you get another 20-odd thousand, 25,000 party people turning up on top because they know it's a really cool vibe. The business model just really works.
I know we're being incredibly positive here, Dodge, and we're going to keep it that way. But I just wanted to ask about the industry overall, because I've seen some people describe it as it's been quite catastrophic. It's been very difficult for the festival industry. But it seems like you've been proactive in your approach to make it less catastrophic, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, I don't buy into it all. Listen, it's bad times. Don't get me wrong. It's really bad times for the events industry. That's life. Every 10 years, a massive recession happens. Things happen, and it is a kick in the plums for people in the events industry. You know, if you put on weddings, if you put on festivals, if you put on sporting occasions, if you put on conferences, there's so many events, types of events out there that people can't go to. But people sitting at home, I believe this is just a blip. And when we're all back up and running again, there's going to be more people in their 30s going out more than they used to. People in their 40s might have 4 or 5 big nights in them, or 4 or 5 weekends a year in them. They're going to be buying tickets and going, I want 10 nights of the year in me. So, and all the 18 to 25 year olds who love a party, I don't think they even care what's going on with COVID. They just want to get out partying again. So, you know, it's only when things are taken away from you, realize how lucky you are in this country, because the events industry is worth £84 billion to this economy. So what I mean by that, so every event you see, whether it's a sporting occasion, a festival, a concert, it's bringing £84 billion to the economy, whether it's on hotels, whether it's on taxis, whether it's on food, whatever it is, you know. So we are a massive industry. And what it's done, it's brought our industry together. Our industry, the events industry, before the pandemic was very disjointed. What it's done now, the positivity that it's brought everyone together to come as a whole. So it's a blip. We'll deal with it.
I was going to, you pretty much answer my next question there, Dodge, because I was going to say, was the last 12 months more challenging than when you first set up Bournemouth Sevens? But it sounds like 2008 was a little bit more challenging because you were throwing yourself into the unknown. But as you quite rightly say, you know the industry has come together, and it might have made things a little bit easier for you over the last year.
Yeah. Well, you think about 2008, I jumped straight in. Mm. I got 1,500 student parties across the UK and 40 nightclubs for 10 years. I had 12 parties every week in nightclubs, what are 2,000 capacities. I then transitioned going into create a sport and music festival in 2008. So I went into going to taking one revenue stream, which is the door money for the nightclubs, going to create a sport and music festival, which no one had ever done before, to create 7 revenue streams, whether it's tickets, whether it's camping, glamping, sponsorship, bar, catering. It goes on. So it was a massive transition, but I went in there blind, you know, and I mentor other entrepreneurs now. I say, make sure you take calculated risks. Make sure you take calculated risks. I went in there with an absolute ridiculous, not calculated risk whatsoever. And, you know, we run out of money 6 months before the first Bournemouth Sevens, you know, so I was in for £100,000. We run out of money in January before the first Bournemouth Sevens in 2008. No banks were loaning money because of the recessions. The only option we had was to remortgage our family house, me and my wife. And that didn't go down well with her, you know. But that's what we did. And we took a massive gamble and took a risk, and it paid off. So it seems to be happening every 10 years, these things. So as we get older, we start to understand a little bit more of what's happening. So this isn't new to me, you know. And anyone listening to this, if you are in your 20s and 30s, in 9, 10, 11, 12 years time, something else will happen. So just be prepared. And when you're in business, make sure you save for a rainy day for stuff like this.
And I guess that attitude, Dodge, is why you've been able to make Bournemouth Sevens the success it has been over the last 14 years.
Yeah. Well, it's having a limitless mindset. Everything's possible. Everything's possible if you put your mind to it and you graft your nuts off. And you have to graft. And I think there's a very easy notion out there. There's a lot of these self-made, so-called millionaires that you can do an online course and you can be rich in 3 weeks and driving around in Ferraris. That's a load of old tosh. Don't buy into it. Anyone listen to this, don't, it was a younger in your 18s, 20s, 25, you're finishing uni or whatever. Don't buy into this, you know. Hard graft and seeing opportunities out there. And don't reinvent the wheel in business. Make sure you find a business that you're passionate about. Identify what business you like and find a weakness in the business that you identify and go, right, okay, well, I can do that business. And don't put the weakness in there and say, I'm going to make better customer service, better product, and I'm passionate about it. And that's how simple business is. But for some reason, people overcomplicate it.
You know, just listening to you there, Dodge, obviously you're incredibly passionate about the business side of things, but with us being on the Talking Rugby Union podcast, you are of course passionate about rugby as well, even right in saying you were at Loughborough Uni, which is continues to be one of the top sports universities, and obviously have a team in Buck Super Rugby at the moment. So rugby combined with the business side and the festival side of it seems like a match made in heaven for yourself.
Hey, it's match made in heaven, mate. Again, you create your own lifestyle. You know, you want to have a build an entrepreneur, you want to build an empire, you want to have a lifestyle business. And a lifestyle is something you're super passionate about. But mixing rugby with throwing a massive party in a field for 30,000 people was a dream. You know, women, lads, beer, fancy dress, bands, DJs, glamping, camping, everyone just having fun, celebrities. You know, so that's what we've worked on for 13 years, Chris. And it's something that we're seriously passionate about. It's something that all my team are seriously passionate about, and that's what we strive to push boundaries every year.
And you must like it as well, Roger, when you do have such a successful festival and you may be still on the side of the pitch, beer in hand, and you're watching some great rugby as well, and that probably feeds that little bit of a rugby fan in you as well.
Yeah, you know what, it's really interesting, Chris, because when we first started this in 2008, people wouldn't buy tickets online. So we used to get checks sent through our letterbox here at home.
Seems like a distant history, that.
Absolutely. People would be writing checks for their team entry. All of a sudden, I was thinking, year one, I was going to get 24 teams. All of a sudden, 96 checks coming through the post box. 10 one day, 12 the next. I thought, oh my God, I'm onto something here. And it was the rugby crowd. So I thought, I didn't want this festival to just be a sausage fest. So what have I got to do? I've got to bring women. So we created more netballers and more netball teams coming. That combination of the rugby and the netball was just a dream come true. It was a perfect combo, and that's how it's gone from there. But the rugby standard on the main pitch and all around the 16 pitches we got is absolutely outstanding, because what you get is on the main pitch, you get professional and semi-professional players travelling and flying in from your Dubais, your Hong Kongs, around the UK, Wales. And the standard is seriously, seriously high. But all the pitches around it aren't just your big second row and your prop running around. These are serious sevens teams wanting to win. I think we've got 16 competitions. In fact, we've got 1,500 matches played in 2 days.
Incredible.
With 400 teams competing in total across the sport. So the sports aspect of it is really powerful. And then obviously we're good at creating a party as well. So we've got 12 different festival arenas where people can come and come let their hair down.
Yeah, I was going to mention kind of the rugby bit as well there again, Dodge, because you talk about the talent on show, and I mentioned there Max, who's the founder of TRU, set up Red Panda Sports, and I know they played there a couple of years ago, and I think they might have had like Mike Haley playing, Rory McConaughey playing, I think Simon Hammersley as well. So not only, as you quite rightly say there, you can throw a great party and enjoy yourself over what seems to be a mini holiday for these guys, but at the same time, it's kind of a place for players to develop if they are taking it elite sport seriously and they're in that elite competition.
Absolutely. There's a lot of agents go to the festival and on the side of the pitch, grabbing players, say, can I have a word with you? Would you want to come to Bath for a couple of training sessions? Do you want to come to Quinn's? We'd like to take you up to Leicester Tigers. You know, we've had some wonderful players play at the festival. Ellis Genge, he won player of the tournament a few years back. He was an absolute beast. He's an England prop. When I saw him play on the main pitch, I was like, oh my God, he is rapid. He had all the skills. You know, I thought he could have been a centre or something. You know, but we've had Danny Kerr, Rugo Monya, Jamie Roberts, Lewis Moody, the Armitage brothers, all the rugby people are coming, Shane Williams. Mm. They're all the Tuolangi, Manu Tuolangi. The list just goes on and on, you know. So everyone seems to have played there at some point. Or if they haven't played there, they're down there partying on the side of the pitch in the VVIP.
I was going to say that as well, Dodge, really. You know, you look at some of the pictures on your socials and on Bournemouth socials. You know, James Haskell, I know you know very well. He's done a bit of DJing. And you mentioned Hugo Monio. I know he's done a few pictures and stuff there. So that must be really good as well for you that you do get these players past and present coming down and supporting you guys as well. And it just maybe adds a little bit more to that festival, and again, makes you stand out if you didn't need to already.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It's really interesting because you grab a player. If I walk through a big crowd with Manu at Twickenham, oh yeah, people want a photo. Da, da, da. You walk with Manu through the Manu or Lewis or whoever it may be, and you walk through the crowds, or James Haskell, you walk through the crowds, they cannot, they're literally mobbed. They can't get to the other end within like an hour and a half because everyone wants photos. Everyone wants a selfie. Everyone wants an autograph. It's actually quite mad to see, you know?
And I bet they love that as well because they know they've been on the other side of the fence, if you like. They were in there a few years ago playing.
Well, it's very different for them as well, you know? They love it because it's a different clientele. If you're playing at Northampton or playing at Leicester, you're going to have Alakadoos wanting a photo. And you're going to want older boys, older ladies. They come in here and they've got 18 to 30-year-olds, you know, wanting photos and selfies and what have you. So it's a very different demographic for them. And they're superstars to these people's, in these people's eyes, you know. And they get on the beers and have a laugh and let their hair down. So there's no, like if you go to, if I bring professional footballers down who are proper faces, they don't really want to mingle. The rugby boys go and mingle with everyone. They'll be at the bar or, you know, Austin Healey will be up singing, you know, Sex is on Fire on stage, or all these things are going off everywhere. And that's what it brings this whole rugby community together. You know, the players are accessible at our festival, which is great.
Yeah, and that just goes back to that rugby ethos. We know it's there and it's great to see it on the show at Bournemouth Sevens as well, Dodge. And I'm just going to quiz you on a few things going into the festival, fingers crossed, as you say, for August Bank Holiday this year. I think it was September last year, you guys put a Facebook post out and you were talking about did the plans are starting to be put in place. And I guess that goes back to the proactiveness of you guys as well, that even in September last year, I can imagine it was the 1st of September, to be honest, Dodge, as soon as you knew it wasn't going to happen in August Bank Holiday last year, that you were already thinking, right, 2021, we've already got the work and the groundwork done. What else can we do to make it better? So what have you got planned for 2021? Are you allowed to say what you've got planned at the moment? Or?
I've got lots. I've had 2 years to be thinking about this. Do you know what I mean? When I finish a festival, I go around my own festival taking notes of how I can improve it for next year. My mates and the staff are like, can you not just enjoy it? I'm like, no, because we've got to keep improving and tweaking and improving. But we've got 2 years of creativity that's going on. I'm really creative and so is my team. And we've got 2 years of how we can improve the experience of the customer. How can we improve the entertainment? How can we make the big top dance tent with dancers and fire, and how can we create new arenas? What else can we do with the TV crews and the celebrities? And it's just so much going on the whole time of how we can make a better experience, because, you know, a lot of music festivals sell their tickets by the headline acts. We don't do that. We sell all our tickets out, and then once we're sold out, then we'll put a headline act on for everyone. Right. So everyone who's got the ticket go, what a touch. Dodge just put a headline on for us. Thank you. Rather than putting a lineup up and hoping people like the lineup to come to your festival. Our festival is about the experience. And that's what's got us to this place now in year 14.
Yeah. And also going back to a point you said before, Dodge, that maybe 2021 is going to be bigger and better than usual because you do have these people, judging by the tickets you've been able to keep hold of, itching to get back to Bournemouth Sevens. So, they're going to be wanting to see, regardless of who the headline acts are, they just want to be there. And then the headline acts are a little bit of a bonus on top, if you like.
100%, 100%. You know, 60-odd DJs and bands and everything else going on. But I create the festival in my own mind. What would I like? What would all my mates like? Because I know what I would like, and all mates like, I know that everyone coming will be like, oh my God, these standards are really high. We're loving this. We're loving the experience that's being created here. You know, and it's 60% plus women. Most festivals may be 10% women. Ours is 60% plus women at the festival. So it just really helps. Probably any wives listen to this. If your husband comes down, just pretending that 60%, by the way.
They'll just say, oh, we're just going to watch a bit of rugby and take a few notes and scout.
Mate, honestly, the messages that I get, because the good thing about rugby teams, 168 rugby teams, if you're in a rugby club and you're going to go on tour, everyone's like, 30 lads, yeah, we're in tour. There's no way of them getting out of it, you know, even if they're married or not married. So, and vice versa with all the netballers as well.
I was going to say that, yeah.
All the netballers won't tell the husbands, men that are there.
But you get, obviously, women's rugby is it's getting bigger and bigger as well, Dodge, isn't it? And you're going to get women's rugby teams coming down there, and they want that social aspect as well. Yeah. You do maybe see some events that go on, and you think, that's just male teams in elite competitions, but that's definitely not the case for you.
We have more women's teams than men's teams across the whole site. Women's sport, for me, is absolutely unbelievable. The passion they show and the skill set they have is off the charts. It's grown so quickly over the years. I'm super passionate about women's sport, definitely. And the way they perform on the weekend and the way they party as well. They know how to have a party.
Just a couple more from me, Dodge, really. It says on the website, I think it's right, saying 191 days to go of, and the day we're recording this little podcast for Talking Rugby Union. So how do guys get in touch with you if there's any tickets remaining? Doesn't sound like there's too many remaining.
Yeah, you can get in contact. If people want to get in contact with me personally, they can get me on Instagram, and the social handle is called @eventfulentrepreneur. I answer everyone, so anyone wants to get me on there, or just go and check out Bournemouth Sevens across all the other platforms and websites. If they want me personally, that's the one to get me on.
Good stuff, good stuff. And is there anything, in the pipeline over the next 3 or 4 months, Dodge, in terms of building up to an August bank holiday that you guys need to do in order to make it even bigger and better than normal?
No. We're just doing what we do. Head down, concentrate on what we're doing, and not think about what's going on in the outside world. And that's the only thing we can do, because no one knows right now.
Absolutely. Well, if you are going to Bournemouth Sevens Festival, or you have listened to this and now absolutely desperate to get your hands on a ticket, as Dodge said, do get in touch with him. Look at Bournemouth Sevens' website and social media. The activity will continue between now and August bank holiday as well. So make sure you do circle that in pen this year. Fingers crossed, big Boris Johnson does say we're allowed to have festivals back, and Bournemouth Sevens' 2021 festival will be bigger and better than ever. Well, Dodge, it's been brilliant to catch up with you and have a chat with you on the Talking Rugby Union podcast. All the best with everything going forward, and hopefully we'll be able to see you guys in full swing at Bournemouth Sevens this year.
Yeah, good man. I thoroughly enjoyed this. And anyone out there, mate, if you haven't been, definitely check out the festival. I guarantee you'll have a blast.